From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
What your country can do for you. What you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 6th of January, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Skogman, and with me tonight as co-host is associate producer of Spectrum 360, Terry Weeks. Terry, say hello.
Hello.
Ah, she can do that.
I can do this, a lot of things.
Yes, that bodes well for the program. This is the first time that Terry Weeks, associate producer of Spectrum 360, is actually being in the studio to appear as a commentator on the program. So this is a first for Terry and a first for the program.
And I'm very excited about it.
Yes, very good. I'm glad you are. I would be rather horrified if you weren't. That'd be a problem, but it's not, definitely. We're excited to be on the program tonight. This is actually the 19th Spectrum 360 program since we started this program. We started this program last year on Monday, the 2nd of December, 2013. We've done 18 programs up to the end of this year, and now this starts the first full year for Spectrum 360, and this is our 19th program, the first for the year 2014. We're excited. So, on the program preview, what we're going to do with tonight's program is for the hour, we're going to have a year in review 2013 program. So this program is just a year in review of just strictly the last year, 2013. We did schedule a panel discussion, and we were intending to do this program as a roundtable discussion with multiple people. Actually, we're going to have four people commenting on the year 2013. But as a lot of people know, there is a bad cold virus that's circulating right now. I've had it. I'm already done with it. Terry has had it, and she's attempting to completely recover from it.
And I'm still coughing, so I apologize yes. if some of that comes through on the air.
Don't cough into the microphone.
I will not cough into the microphone.
Hopefully that won't happen. And yes, two of our guests who are going to be on the program tonight as guest commentators for the roundtable panel discussion are apparently out sick as well with this cold virus that is happening now, circulating in the Tampa Bay area. So we've had to make some adjustments in the program. So we're going to start with our topics for year in review. And we're going to do something that we don't normally do in this program, or we don't do very often. And that is later in the program, we're going to open up the program for calls from the general public. Now, people that listen to this program regularly know that we have so much content in this program, we don't normally do a lot of call-in segments. Excuse me. But when we do them, but they're rare. And this is one of the programs that I think we will open up the telephone lines and accept calls from the general public. Now, we do know that people are not used to doing this with this program because we typically don't do this, or we do it very rarely. And also, it's a late-night program, a late-evening program, so sometimes there aren't a lot of people awake listening to the program. A lot of people listen to this program through the podcast. Now, the podcast, you can get that by going to www.facebook.com, and Spectrum 360 Radio Program is the Facebook website. You can click on the program links there that I post. Also, the most direct way to do it, to access the podcast, is actually go to www.tantalk1340.com. That's www.tantalk1340.com. Click on podcasts and then click on the radio program Spectrum 360. We have all 18 of the previous programs listed there for you on the podcast. And also, remember, while you're on Facebook, go to Spectrum 360 Radio Program and like us on Facebook. Please do that. We enjoy that, and we like those likes. And we want to get more likes. So do that for us, please. And I want to thank everyone who's listened to Spectrum 360 for the last year in 2013. And I want to encourage you to keep listening to Spectrum 360. Keep being a loyal listener through 2014 as we bring you a whole nother year of programming. We really enjoy doing this program. I've enjoyed it tremendously, and we've had a lot of fun. We do a lot of serious issues on this program, but we also do some humor and comedy too as a quote, comic relief, unquote, and we do some of that. So sometimes people are a little bit surprised that we do both, but we do a lot of serious politics, and then we do some humorous politics just to lighten it up. Like I said, comic relief. So it's both on this program. It's going to be a little bit more of a serious program, I think, this time, because we're dealing with so many serious issues, and we want to go to those issues soon here. Let me bring up some information about our year in review. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just... I've got some issues that I've divided into Florida state-centric issues, and then also national-centric issues. So we have national issues and state issues, and some that relate to international issues as well. Now, here's a list I made of topics that I think are probably some of the most important. Of course, my co-host for this program is going to have her own opinions. She's definitely her own woman. And our callers, if we have any that we get on the program, will also have their own opinions, too. And these are just conversation starters that I've listed as a list of national issues that I think we should be covering. Well, number one, the year 2013 started with President Obama's second term as President of the United States on Inauguration Day. So he is now getting ready to go into his second year of his second term. That was one of the significant events of 2013, definitely, and of course affects the country and the world at large. He's arguably the president of the United States at any current time is the most powerful single person in the world.
And, although you have to tell Congress that.
Yes, well, that's the great thing about separation of powers and having different branches of government and the checks and balances that we have in our system, if they work properly. So the start of Obama's second term is one issue. Also, climate change, and as it's relating to the weather now, and also the great evidence that there is contained in the film Chasing Ice, that is another large issue which I think is very important. Also, the Edward Snowden case, and another issue which is not familiar with a lot of people, the majority of the public is not familiar with this issue. And this is the issue of the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is officially a trade pact. It's a trade treaty, a trade agreement. But it is far more than just that. That basically it does not fully describe what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is, and also obscures its real purpose. And this issue is not being covered in the media and is not well known by the public at all, although it's very, very important. We're again talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that is an agreement for trade and many other things between the United States, and actually it includes 11 countries altogether.
And actually only out of 20-some-odd chapters in the agreement, only five of them deal with trade.
Yes, and that's a good characterization of the agreement. Now, what do you think of a trade agreement that only has five chapters that actually deal directly with trade? Well, there's a lot more in it, folks, and we're going to be discussing that as well. That is one of the most important issues of this year. Also, there was the Chelsea Manning case. There was the Supreme Court invalidating parts of the Voting Rights Act, very important. The continuing drone wars. Also, as it relates to climate change, the super typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines. And also demographic changes in the U.S. population, which was covered in a great film that was produced and features Juan Gonzalez, who is the co-host of Democracy Now! And he released a film entitled Harvest of Empire. Now, Harvest of Empire is a very good film, and we will discuss that later in the program. Also, another big story from 2013 of national importance was the ineffectiveness of government. And I'm relating this specifically to Congress and the government shutdown. And also the case of CIA whistleblower John Kiriakou, who's now imprisoned for basically whistleblowing on the Bush-era torture regime.
Good for him.
Yes, yeah, so there's a lot of issues there. And some state issues that I made a list of that were important to Florida over the last year in 2013. Number one, I think, was the George Zimmerman trial. That had not only state but national implications as well. In fact, it was even noticed internationally, the George Zimmerman trial and the subsequent verdict. Also, the failure of the state of Florida to expand Medicaid or accept federal money for the expansion of Medicaid, which is going to affect health care for a large percent of the population here in Florida. Also, the Florida unemployment rate finally dropping significantly. Also, the death of U.S. Representative, well, former U.S. Representative Bill Young from the Florida U.S. House District 13 after 43 years in office. Also, the Charlie Crist candidacy for governor, challenging our current incumbent Republican Governor Rick Scott. Also, texting while driving laws went into effect. And then another very important issue, the flood insurance crisis, as it relates to the Biggert Waters bill that came from the U.S. House of Representatives, which has caused this crisis all over the country. And we broadcast this program from the WTAN studios in Clearwater, Florida. We're just 1 to 2 miles from the water here. And we're in Pinellas County. Pinellas County is the most affected county, not only in the state, but in the country by this law, by the flood insurance crisis that was caused by the Biggert Waters bill. Also, there are some other stories in news in Florida in 2013, political. The prosecution of James Greer, or Jim Greer, who was a very close associate of Charlie Crist when he was governor of Florida. And also the resignation of Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll, that is Rick Scott's former Lieutenant Governor, because of a scandal with a fake charity where they were actually running internet cafes as a gambling cafes, and that was illegal. And
a scandal in the Rick Scott administration? You're kidding.
Yes, there was. So those are the issues that I think were some of the top issues in both the state of Florida and in the country of the United States in 2013. And so I want to start our discussion of these issues by just saying that the weather here in Pinellas County and in the Tampa Bay area and in the state of Florida, and indeed in the entire country, in the Northeast and Midwest, all the way up to the Canadian border and beyond, is very cold right now. We're having what is called a vortex of cold weather coming down from the Arctic, which is affecting large parts of the country. This has been a big story nationally and in Florida for the last few days, the arrival of this weather. It is very cold tonight in the state of Florida and nationally, and we want to encourage people to take notice of this and protect themselves, because this is dangerous weather. I mean, it's bad enough in Florida, the freezing temperatures here, but we have sub-freezing temperatures that are getting very low in northern states, and people need to remember to watch themselves, take care of themselves and other people, and be safe. So this is an advisory about the cold weather. Now, why am I mentioning that? Well, not only because we want people to be safe, but because it relates to a larger point. And here's the point. This weather is very cold, okay? Now, this is the winter season. You'd expect cold weather, right? Of course, especially now. Now, in conservative media over the last several days, as this cold weather has set in the country, there's been a lot of ridicule of climate change theory because of the cold weather. So it's cold, and conservatives are saying, well, you know, this is proof that there is no global warming. And frankly, that's ridiculous. Now, let's go through this. I respect people's point of view. I expect people's right to their own opinions. I expect their constitutional free speech rights. And as I said on the last program, you have your right to your own opinion, but you don't have a right to your own facts, as was famously stated by former U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. Now, how does it relate to the current issue? Well, this way. This cold weather. Okay, when we use the term climate change, that's the cause, or that's the effect of the cause of global warming. Global warming is the cause. Atmospheric warming, more specifically, is the cause. Climate change is the effect. Okay, now let's go through that phrase. We're talking about a two-word phrase, climate change. Okay, the cause is global warming. The effect is climate change. Now, my question for conservatives that are ridiculing Al Gore and people that believe in climate change because of the cold weather is this. What part of the word change don't you understand? And that's my point. There is climate change, okay? It doesn't mean there aren't going to be seasons. There are still going to be four seasons. There's going to be winter, fall, or winter, spring, summer, and fall. Now, we're in the winter season right now. Climate change does not mean that we're not going to have winter weather. What it does mean is this. As the climate changes, it's going to become less predictable because it's going to be more unstable. Now, with the instability, it's also going to become more severe. So you're going to have more extreme weather events, and the weather events themselves are going to be more extreme. So the way that relates to the winter season is this. As we get winter weather, you can expect more frequent extremes and more extreme extremes, if you will. So when we experience very cold weather in the winter, that is not a refutation of climate change. It's a proof of it, because we're getting climate instability, climate extreme events, and we can expect more extreme cold weather events in the winter, more extreme hot weather events in the summer. We can expect less stability and less predictability in the climate overall, disruption of rainfall patterns, et cetera, et cetera. So there's going to be a lot of change. So when it gets very cold in the winter, that is not a refutation or proof that climate change is not happening. It's a proof for it. Remember, it's climate change. Global warming is the cause. You can't expect that every season is going to warm up. It's not going to. There are going to be very hot summers. There are going to be very cold winters. So when people ridicule Al Gore for being one of the most important people to talk about climate change, they're just ridiculing people, because of this cold weather. And they're basically showing their own ignorance on the subject. Now, I respect people's opinions, and I understand that sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to understand these issues, but that's what we have to do, is we have to sort out what's the cause, what's the effect. And very simply, in its simplest form, the cause is global warming, or atmospheric warming, I think is a more accurate phrase for it. The effect is, of course, climate change in all these different ways. So cold weather does not disprove climate change. Focus on the word change in that phrase, climate change. Change, okay? People need to understand change. I mean, it's hot and cold weather, okay? And Terry, what do you have to say on that?
Well,
I basically said my piece on that, basically stated my position. And I think that wraps up the subject very well and refutes all this ridicule that's been happening in the media the last few days because of the cold weather.
Well, if you want to look at some extreme hot weather, it's summer in Australia right now. Last Thursday, it was 125 degrees there. So they are having extreme heat. And if you look at the curve of temperatures, what you're going to see is a lot of short-term variability, increasing short-term variability. But if you look at the overall temperature curve, it is consistently going up, 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 up. So global warming is happening. Climate change is happening. Let's get with the program and figure out a way to deal with it.
Very well put. I really like that. Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you for stating that so succinctly.
Thank you. Very interesting. You're welcome.
And we do have one song I'd like to play. Now, this is from the film Chasing Ice, and it's basically just kind of a wrap-up of my attitude towards the younger generations that are coming after me and how they're going to have to deal with this crisis. It's just not a good time to be on planet Earth, and it's going to be difficult. Bill McKibben of 350.org calls this a new earth. In fact, he, to emphasize the point rather humorously, he now spells the word earth E-E-A-R-T-H as...
No, I think it's E-A-A-R-T-H.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, yeah. Yes. Please, but thank you for correcting me. It's E-A-A-R-T-H. So it's earth instead of earth. Just to underscore the fact that we're living in a new climate reality. So here's a song from the film Chasing Ice. This is an Academy Award-winning song. The song is Before My Time, features the vocal of Scarlett Johansson and the violin playing of Joshua Bell.
I should run 10,000 miles home. Would you be there? Just a taste of things to come. I still smile, but I don't want. I don't want to die alone, way before my time.
Well, there you have it. That's the song Before My Time from the film Chasing Ice. And I just want to mention briefly that on our last program, which was Monday the 30th of December, I played that program also, or played that song also on the program. And we had a preview of the film Chasing Ice. If you've not seen it, it's got very important, irrefutable evidence of climate change, and I strongly recommend that film to everyone, Chasing Ice. It's been on television, it's been in theaters all across the country, and it's a very important film. So please do avail yourself of seeing that. Definitely.
Beautiful cinematography, too. So,
and on this very cold night, I remember my friend Sherry Honkala, who's a homeless activist and a women's rights activist, has been active for many, many years. We are both originally from the Minneapolis area. And one time, many years ago, she was caught outside in extremely cold weather with her children and almost froze to death. And the way she saved herself was to break into an abandoned house and take shelter. And it was an extremely cold night. And I like to just dedicate that song to her and the future generations that are going to be suffering from climate change. So, enough said on that.
Well, isn't that special?
Yes, I think so. Let's go on to the next issue. I do want to talk a little bit more about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Remember, this month, there's going to be a lot of activity on it. One of the main issues in the Trans-Pacific Partnership is Congress authorizing fast-track authority, or what's now being called Trade Promotion Authority. He wants that authority from Congress, so basically he can just ratify the Trans-Pacific Partnership treaty on his own. Now, this is an authority that no president should have. So I oppose this. I oppose fast track or trade promotion authority be given to President Obama, because I'm against any president having fast track authority where they can basically disregard Congress and make treaties on their own through the executive branch. Terry, what's your perspective on that?
I completely agree. It is in the Constitution that it is Congress that has the final authority to ratify all treaties, and they are supposed to exercise their deliberative powers, analyze these treaties, and decide whether or not to approve them. Fast track basically throws it in front of them for about 90 minutes, give them a quick up or down vote, and totally abrogates Congress's constitutional authority to do what they're supposed to do. I think it's a real problem.
Yes, and many people do. There's many people that have organized all across the state of Florida and all across the country to stop the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Not only does this trade agreement affect trade, it affects internet freedom. It affects enforcement of environmental laws. It affects enforcement of buying American clauses in government contracts. We can't buy our own products anymore. Okay. We're going to have more Spectrum 360 in the second half. We're going to take a break for network news and commercials for about 5 minutes. We will be coming back with more Spectrum 360. We'll finish speaking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We'll speak a little bit more about some other issues. And then we're hoping to get a few people on the line, on the telephone. This is going to be all in the second half of Spectrum 360. Remember, like us on Facebook. Yes, that is facebook.com, Spectrum 360 radio program, and the podcast. Remember, www.10talk1340.com. We'll see you at the other side of the break. Stay with us.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. The National Weather Service calls the below-zero temperature gripping most of the country historic and life-threatening. JetBlue said it would not fly today and canceled all flights out of all of its major hubs. In Chicago, jet fuel froze before it could reach the planes. More from NBC's Ann Thompson.
Across the country, FlightAware reports more than 3,700 flights were canceled by 5 p.m. tonight, impacting some 213,000 passengers.
Illinois is in a state of emergency. Nearly 1,000 people have been rescued from stranded vehicles on the roads in that state since this morning. The Senate has approved Janet Yellen to be the first woman to lead the Federal Reserve.
The yeas are 56, the nays are 26. The nomination is confirmed.
Yellen has been vice chair of the Fed since 2010. She will begin her four-year term on February 1st. On Wall Street, stocks closed lower. The Dow fell 44, the S&P dropped 4, and the NASDAQ was down 18 points. This is NBC News Radio.
All right, hold on. We've got to interrupt the regularly scheduled stuff for just a minute. I've got to tell you about this because it's weird. It'll make sense. What if I told you that eating this one weird spice could actually help you reverse diabetes? I know, it's crazy, right? Well, if you or somebody you care about has diabetes or pre-diabetes or metabolic syndrome, you've got to check out this video. It's free. You may have heard about this. People who've tried it say that they've been able to normalize their blood sugar, stop taking their diabetes meds, and their doctors are all for it. So what is it? What's behind this? Well, the company says it's a natural drug-free approach to reversing diabetes, and they say that it works in as little as 4 weeks, and it all starts with this one weird kitchen spice you probably have in your kitchen right now. So you should check out the free video and see for yourself. It's at weirdspice33.com. So write that down. It's weirdspice33.com. Weirdspice33.com.
Hello, my friend. Happy New Year to all of you and your family. I'm Glenn Pav of The Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right. Heard weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m. drive time, prime time on the Tantalk Radio Network. Here's a look at this week's lineup. Jeff Olseth of Vitaline, Inc. will join me with a business perspective on the news. I'll give you my Obamacare update. Then Mark Bercher, running for House candidate, District 13. Biblical perspective on the news, including a Common Core update. And finally, the rabbi who found the Messiah. Well, that about sums it up. For more details, look me up on the web at writingtheright.com, spelled R-I-G-H-T. That's writingtheright.com. And join me this week with my guests and co-hosts. That's the Glenn Pav Show, weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m., drive time, prime time, right after Imus in the Morning on the Tantalk Radio Network. And folks, let's keep writing the right.
All these silly left-wing and right-wing politicians and people who think they know what the normal is, they don't. We know what the normal is. Beyond normal.
Oh, do we?
Yes, we do.
Well, a lot of people think we're beyond normal.
That's beyond normal. What's your beef?
With Frank, Judy, and Laurie.
Wednesdays at 11 p.m. on Tantalk Network Radio. For all you millions of people out there. And our email address will be frankfamousmedia@yahoo.com. And the call-in telephone number here in the studio will be 727-441-3000.
Mama!
Discover powerful ways to regain and boost your health on the Mind, Your Body, and Spirit radio show. Mondays from 10 to 11 a.m. Hosted by longtime publisher of the Healthy Referral newspaper, Marcia Carnicelli Minor. Brought to you by Sierra Sill. Enjoy the day without pain. Go to SierraSill.com and by Jadensgaga.com. And by Solave, a new $49 a month no-contract wireless service. Go to Solave.com/Healthy Referral. For more details, visit HealthyReferral.com and click on Mind, Your Body, and Spirit.
This is John Austin, the host of Tantalks The Book Club, a program that spotlights undiscovered authors and their books. If you are a published author and feel that your book has not had the exposure it deserves and you would like to be considered for a guest spot in the book club, email your name, the title of your book, along with a brief synopsis of the book to bookclub1340@gmail.com. Be sure to include your contact information. And be sure and join me, John Austin, on The Book Club every Tuesday morning at 10 on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Check out Spectrum 360 every Monday night at 11 p.m. on 1340 Tantalk AM with your hosts, Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright. It's progressive politics, it's art, it's culture, it's reality. It's what you want to hear today every Monday night at 11 p.m. on 1340 AM. Spectrum 360.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 6th of January, 2014. This is your host, Mark Skogman, with my co-host for this evening.
And this is Terry Weeks, his co-host.
Yes, very good. Now, Terry has some more comments to make on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Take it away, Terry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, why would the administration be pushing so hard to get this fast-track authority? Probably because if Congress had a reasonable amount of time to actually read through this trade agreement and discuss it, they would not vote for it, because it is very bad for the United States. Basically, what will happen, any regulation, any environmental regulation, any health safety regulation, all kinds of things that a multinational corporation decides is interfering with its ability to make profit, they can then sue the country. They can sue the United States for money damages, saying, hey, you know, you're not wanting to import our toxic chicken from China, but that's interfering with our profits. And they can sue for money damages. They don't go to a regular court. They go to a special tribunal staffed with, let's say, pro-corporate hearing officers.
And also, a very important aspect of the Trans-Pacific Partnership as it relates to trade is the fact that these trade tribunals they rotate with the people that are litigators with the tribunal. So you have the same group of people being judge and jury and being prosecutors and defendants. It's a bizarre system when you look at it.
And
it's just
really
incredible.
It's the fox guarding the hen house. It's a bad, bad deal for America. More and more people are starting to learn about it. We're going to be talking about it on the show periodically, as we have in the past. So start getting up to speed on it. It's something everybody really should be aware of.
Absolutely. You can go on Facebook and you can go to Flush the TPP, Expose the TPP, Floridians Against the TPP. There's so many Facebook books or Facebook sites, rather, about the TPP and the effort to stop it, that they're really proliferating on the Internet and on Facebook specifically. So that's where you can get more information on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And Terry, good job in describing that.
Well, thank you.
Good job.
Wow.
I thought you'd like some applause.
I love applause.
Yes, I know you do. Okay, let's move on to another subject. I wanted to speak a little bit about the Edward Snowden case. And that is so important, what has happened with the disclosures about the NSA spying. This has been going on for many years. I've been very concerned about this, not just this last year when Edward Snowden made public all his revelations about the NSA, but I've been concerned about these issues all the way back into the second Clinton administration.
You've been concerned about these for years, and I've poo-pooed you and said, oh, don't be ridiculous, that can't possibly be happening. Well, surprise, it is.
Yes, it is, definitely. Some of these programs go all the way back to the 70s. Remember the FBI COINTEL program, where they were spying illegally on activists, specifically left-wing activists, at the behest of the Nixon administration. Now, there were so many violations by the FBI in the 70s when in pursuit of left-wing activists that actually a lot of these cases that were filed were actually dismissed. They were thrown out of court because the FBI broke so many laws in trying to surveil people that the evidence wasn't admissible in court. Well, now they don't have that problem because it's all been made legal. And these programs are just way out of control. I don't know anyone can think that they're constitutional or that they're not dangerous for the country. It's quite patently obvious to me. There was a recent federal ruling. There's actually been two federal court rulings now about the NSA spying. And one basically stated that it's unconstitutional or tantamount to being unconstitutional and that it's Orwellian. And then the other one contradicted that and said it's perfectly constitutional and it's acceptable. So this is where we're at the federal level with this. And it's inevitably going to go to the Supreme Court for a decision by the Supreme Court itself, and I think that's warranted. But it's been a very important case. And also, I'd like to say a few words about the demographic changes in the United States population and this great film that I have in my hands right now, Harvest of Empire, The Untold Story of Latinos in America. It's a great film. It's narrated by Juan Gonzalez, who's the co-host of Democracy Now! And it's just an excellent, excellent film about the changes in the United States. Here's a New York Times a description of it. Harvest of Empire has a journalistic pedigree and a punch that comes from political advocacy. The filmmakers retain a touching faith that most Americans won't tolerate injustice when they know about it. This film is meant to teach them. So it's very good. And the fact that over the next 20 to 30 to 40 years, the United States is going to become much more diverse in terms of racial makeup, much more diverse in terms of populations and people of color, and we need to accept and embrace this. I mean, in the United States Constitution, it says all men are created equal, and women. It doesn't mean just
men.
Well,
not exactly. We're still working on that ERA thing.
Well, yes. I mean, there are improvements that need to be done, but my point is the fact that constitutionally, we believe that all people are equal, both sexes, and all races. So we should embrace this. And the fact that this change is inevitable. There are going to be millions of new voters of color every year registering in the United States. And this is going to change the demographic makeup of the U.S. over the next 20 to 30 years. And it's one of the reasons that conservatives are trying to cling on to power by doing things like gerrymandering districts. Now, you look at the makeup of Congress, and what you're seeing is that Democrats are actually getting more votes in congressional districts than Republicans. But because of gerrymandering, they elect less Democrats then the voting would indicate and that they should actually be electing and that they deserve because of gerrymandering of districts. And this is being done to compensate for the demographic changes in the populations, because that's going to increase the population, the members of the Democratic Party and the voting bloc there.
Basically, what we're looking at is the last gasp of the old white man. And the conservatives are very frightened right now because our population in the United States is getting darker. Those people tend to vote for Democrats. So conservative Republicans have fought back in a lot of different ways, figuring that eventually they're going to lose on this demographic issue, so they better cheat to keep themselves in power. One way they've done it is through the gerrymandering, drawing districts in grotesquely artificial means to keep safe seats. Another big way is voting restrictions, which we're seeing here in Florida and in a number of other states, increasing ID requirements, all kinds of different things. Florida actually was a national embarrassment with its inability to count its ballots on time, again, for the last presidential election, coming up with all kinds of clever ways to keep people from voting. And the people that they want to keep from voting are largely people of color, because they are afraid that they will not vote for them.
Dear, that must be terribly uncomfortable.
I imagine.
I imagine so. Now, there are good Republicans and there are good conservatives that are constitutionalists and that embrace the change, and I welcome that. We should all embrace our own constitution, our own founding documents, where we say all men are created equal.
And women.
Yes, and women. And we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We should welcome all people for that. Now, I am a white male, and I still welcome this change because it's the right thing to do. I'm not threatened by it. I welcome the diversity. Viva la difference. Let's embrace this. Okay, on to the next subject. What would you like to talk about next, Terry?
Well, let me see. Maybe we should move on to some state issues.
We can move on to some state issues. And
Florida is so much fun.
Yes. And we'd also like to see if we have any listeners who would like to call in tonight. If you would like to call in and speak about the issues that we've already spoken about the program, or an issue that you think is important, national or state issue, you can call WTN right now. The toll-free number is 1-866-826-1340, as in Tantalk 1340. That, once again, that's 1-866-826-1340, or the local number is 727-441-3000. So if you'd care to call in and make a comment tonight, please do. It's one of these minority of programs where we do actually accept callers, usually. We're online with the interviews, or we have other content, and we rarely do the call-ins, but tonight's an exception, so if you want to call in, please do. Go ahead. And Terry, what would you like to speak
about? I'd like to talk a little bit about the Medicaid expansion.
Okay, very good.
Just to set some background, I think probably most of our listeners already understand this. Under the Affordable Care Act, people are eligible for subsidies to purchase their own insurance on the marketplace, but there are some people working poor whose incomes are actually too low to do that. The Affordable Care Act envisioned all of these people would be covered by Medicaid, so everybody would have insurance. But the Supreme Court held that you can't force states to expand Medicaid, and a number of states decided, well, then we're not going to. And our state, Florida, was one of them. They are not taking billions of dollars in federal money to expand Medicaid to cover, I think, over a million people. Florida has one of the highest rates of uninsured in the country. And so there are still millions of people, even with the Affordable Care Act in place, who are not going to get any health insurance at all. And in my opinion, this is unconscionable. This is due largely to the intractability of the Florida legislature, particularly Speaker Will Weatherford, who's adamant that he will not accept federal funds. He will not expand Medicaid. I actually harassed him on Twitter for a while, saying the blood of the uninsured is on your hands. How do you sleep at night? Never got back to me on that. But I think it is absolutely unconscionable. And I think that we need to provide everyone with some way to get the health care that they need.
Maybe it's the papers, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the internet, radio, TV, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that. Maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, agents, fans, maybe it's the homeless, aliens, immigrants, maybe it's life. Don't tell me that it's imminent.
Come on, through the night, smile on your brother, everybody get together, love, more, love, love.
60 with Mark Scoblin and
Okay, we're back for some more state issues. And yes, wouldn't it be great if we could all get together and try to love one another right now? That'd be great.
And I give everybody health care.
Yes, I know there's good people on all sides of the spectrum in all political parties, and we want to rally all good people from all parties, all political spectrums, all political points of view to make this country successful. Okay, on to another issue. Now, I just wanted to speak a little bit about the Amanda Murphy election. There was a special election for a state House of Representatives seat. It was primarily in Pasco County, which was won by Amanda Murphy. And that was rather an interesting election because it took a coalition of Democrats, Independents, and Republicans to get Amanda Murphy elected in Pasco County. And we now have a Democrat in that seat. And that I find that pretty interesting, and it was a great coalition effort that got her elected, and I think she's going to be a good representative for all of Pasco County, no matter what your political party.
It was an interesting election because that was a seat that had previously been held by Mike Fasano, who ostensibly was a Democrat, a Republican, but often did not vote with Republican leadership. He was very populist. He was very concerned about consumer protection issues. He was very concerned about, he tried very hard to repeal the advanced cost recovery that's requiring Duke Energy customers now to pay for a nuclear plant that's never going to be built. He was trying to stop that and do a lot with insurance issues. So he wasn't your typical Republican, and I think that's probably why they were able to bring together a coalition in that district to get somebody like Amanda Murphy elected.
Yes, very interesting. Also, the death of Bill Young, the 43-year elected U.S. representative from Florida House District 13, that covers most of Pinellas County. Yes, Bill Young died, and now we have a special election for replacement, and we have a number of people that have declared candidacies. Mark Bircher, Republican, David Jolly, Republican, Kathleen Peters, Republican, and Alex Sink, Democrat. That's going to be a very interesting election to watch in this special election over the next couple of months, which wraps up in March. So, interesting development.
It's huge for Florida also because Bill Young was a very powerful man in Congress. He had a tremendous amount of seniority. Florida's never going to get that much clout in Congress for quite some time now. We're going to be electing a rookie in there to take his seat, and it's going to be a long time before Florida's going to be able to wield that kind of power in Congress again, for good or ill.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting. That's a major, major change. And I do honor the positive things that Bill Young did in that long term in office. And for this program, we're going to concentrate on that. There were definitely some negative things about Bill Young being in office, and we experienced some of these firsthand, such as the caning incident
and the
get a job comment, et cetera. But he still was a patriotic American, and he also did very good work in supporting the Hands Across the Sand effort to stop oil drilling on the coast of Florida and the threat that it poses to Florida and Florida beaches.
Absolutely.
And the Florida tourist economy.
I've been an environmental activist for many years, and I have to say Bill Young sometimes single-handedly kept drilling off the coast of Florida. He was a very strong ally on that issue. He understood how important Florida tourism is and how important having clean beaches is here in Florida, and we do thank him for that.
Yes, and also the candidacy of Charlie Crist for another term as governor, challenging incumbent governor Rick Scott. Very interesting. I've been following the Crist candidacy with great interest. I saw him speak a couple of times in October in Orlando. I saw him speak when he declared his candidacy in St. Petersburg a few weeks ago. That was very interesting. And I was also at a Charlie Crist fundraiser to get a sense of how his fundraising is going and what kind of support he has. And it appears that he's got a lot of strong support, so it's going to be a very interesting race. Many people are anticipating that it's going to be very negative, which it already has started being, and that there's going to be a lot of money spent on by both candidates in this race. And we're not even close to having a primary election in 2014 yet, and yet there's a very heated conflict between these two candidates already.
I got to say that there still is another Democrat running for governor in the state of Florida. That would be Nan Rich, former Senator Nan Rich. There will be a primary. There will be a Democratic primary between Charlie Crist, who's now a Democrat, and Nan Rich, who's not getting a lot of attention right now. Charlie is one of the most gifted retail politicians in the state. He's probably the Bill Clinton of Florida, so he's getting all the attention. But Nan is running. She is a great lady. I have a lot of respect for Nan Rich. She's worked hard on a lot of issues, especially for kids and families. But the feeling is that her campaign just hasn't taken off. She is lagging way behind Charlie Crist in fundraising and probably doesn't have a chance to win. So it probably will be in the long run Charlie Crist against Rick Scott. And I agree with you, Mark. I think it's going to be ugly.
Yes. Now, on to the flood insurance crisis because of the congressional Biggert-Waters bill. This is having a major effect on Florida. And I did a long segment with Gordon Chernecki, who is a local insurance agent here in Pinellas County. That was a few programs ago. You can find that at tantalk1340.com, podcasts, and Spectrum 360. I recommend that program to you. We're going to have Gordon on again in the next few programs here pretty soon to talk about the developments in the flood insurance crisis, because this is having a devastating effect on Pinellas County. It's already started to affect insurance rates, and it's also affecting home sales, especially the closer you get to the water, the worse it is. And this is going to be a major crisis for this county and the state, and to some extent in the country at large.
Now, what a lot of people don't understand, I've heard people saying, oh, well, those rich people with all their big mansions on the water, they should pay more anyway. The heck with them. Well, it isn't just rich people on the water, at least not in Pinellas County. A lot of areas in Pinellas County, according to the FEMA maps, are in flood zones. That includes a lot of very modest homes. We're talking your 900-square-foot cinder block home with grandma and her poodle just trying to live out the rest of their days in peace, suddenly looking at $10,000 or more in flood insurance. It's going to be devastating for a lot of average people. Unless we can get a fix on this, I fear a lot of people are going to end up walking away from their homes. And again, it will be devastating. Also, it's going to decrease the property values in those neighborhoods because nobody's going to be able to sell their home because nobody's going to want to pay that flood insurance. If property values decrease, and I got this from the property appraiser herself, Pam Duboff, property values go down. That's how local governments get the money to do the things that they do. So local government budgets are going to decrease, and they are going to have to be looking at cutting services. They're already cut pretty thin, so we're going to have to be we're having a real problem with local governments providing services if this continues.
And here's what one person had to say about the precipitous rise in insurance rates in terms of flood insurance.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Well, there are some people that are getting just about that mad now because of this, because some of the flood insurance premiums are doubling, tripling. I've seen information on some rates that have actually increased 10 times. That's 1,000%. Now, who can afford that? Very few people.
Also, it's not just residences. It's businesses as well. There are a lot of small businesses in on the beach and areas like Gulfport in Pinellas County that don't operate on a very big profit margin. They're not going to be able to withstand a big increase in their flood insurance premiums either. It's going to hurt local business.
Yes, I totally agree. Also, it's going to be interesting, in terms of the Charlie Crist candidacy for governor, it's going to be very interesting how the prosecution of Jim Greer is going to figure into this campaign.
And it will.
He's going to be released, and then he's going to be speaking publicly about his case. And I know that it's anticipated that the Scott campaign is going to use whatever negative information that can be obtained from Jim Greer to attack Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist has already anticipated this. He hasn't been addressing the subject very directly, from my understanding, recently, but that is going to be a factor in the governor's election in 2014 in Florida. Definitely Jim Greer. And also, the fact that there was a resignation of Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll, and she has now not been replaced. There's no lieutenant governor, has not been for months in the state of Florida.
Which I guess goes to show you how important the lieutenant governor position is, huh?
Well, yeah, we should either fill it or,
we should
abolish the position, one of the two. But don't have an office where there's, you know, it's not filled. So if Rick Scott either dies or is incapacitated in office, we're going to have Governor Pam Bondi. Interesting. Interesting succession of command there. In state government in the state of Florida. But that's going to be a factor in this race as well. So Jim Greer, Jennifer Carroll, Rick Scott, Charlie Crist, Nan Rich, it's all going to be a ball of wax. It's going to be very interesting to watch in 2014. What else do you have, Terry?
Well, you got Florida unemployment rate here. And Rick Scott is touting that unemployment has decreased in Florida under his watch. And perhaps that's true, depending on how you look at the numbers. But the question I would like to ask is, what kind of jobs have come back to Florida? Have they been high, good-paying jobs with good benefits? No, I don't think so. I think we've got a lot of lower-paying jobs coming in, lower-paying than the jobs that left with little or no benefits, what we used to call Mick jobs. So I'm not sure that Rick Scott really has anything to brag about as far as the jobs that he has brought into our state. That's my opinion.
Well, here's another comment on that.
You've got to convince me that you know what this is all about, that you aren't just fiddling around hoping it'll all come out right in the end.
Yes, some people are definitely thinking that. I am glad that the unemployment rate is dropping. We need jobs in this state, and that's very important that the economy is getting better. But there's a lot of skepticism that goes with that as well. And it does appear that Rick Scott has been very good at doing public relations in terms of every time there's a company opening, whether his policies were responsible for it or not, going to the opening or taking advantage of it, of the publicity in some way. And you can expect politicians to do that. You know, a lot of politicians do that. I don't blame him for doing that, but it does, to some extent, give you a false picture of what's happening. We just hope everything gets better, and we hope it happens in 2014.
We need good jobs in Florida. We don't want the Walmartization of Florida. We want some quality jobs with decent wages and good benefits for the people of this state.
Very good. Very well said. I really appreciate you being on the program. That was associate producer and co-host for this program, Terry Weeks. My name is Mark Skogman. You've been listening to Spectrum 360. We're going to have another interesting program next week. This has been a rambling year-in-review program about national and state issues. I think we just stirred up the pot and discussed
a number. Had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, had a lot of fun doing it. We threw in a few sound files to have a little fun with it. And I really enjoyed the program. I hope you did, too. Now, remember, Spectrum 360 picks up next week with another program that's going to be packed full of Florida content, local content, all kinds of stuff for you. We're going to have another good program next week. See you then.
Bye.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.